Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Pearl Phillip, Editor-in-Chief of Caribbean American Weekly, The Immigrants Journal, and Workers World Today. And we are super excited to have Ms. Diana Morales, who is running to be the next mayor of New York City. Welcome, Ms. Morales. Good to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure to be here.
Our pleasure to have you as well. So, who is Diana Morales and why are you running to be the next mayor of New York City?
So, I am the youngest daughter of Ana and Alfredo Morales, two Puerto Ricans. I'm a Black Latina. I was born and raised in Bed-Stuy, first generation to go to college, and I am a single mom who's raised my children here in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. I have spent my entire career actually working to help our communities, our immigrant communities, our working class, our low-income Black and brown women and men to access economic and educational opportunity and to overcome barriers. And so I am running for mayor because I don't think we've ever had someone who actually came from our community and reflected our community and really is focused on prioritizing our community at the citywide level. And I think that we've seen as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, we've seen all of the other pandemics that existed before, racism, classism, sexism, we've seen all of those things get worse. And it is time for us to have somebody in leadership who is going to make sure that our communities are a priority and that we are in the center moving forward so that we can actually benefit and move forward and live in dignity.
And talking about leadership, the next mayor of New York City needs to be a leader that can execute and get things done. You mentioned the pandemic. We have the economic situation, racism, so many issues. What is your priority as the next mayor of New York City?
Sure. So I think we've seen one of the things we've seen is that for decades, our leadership and our government has divested from our communities. They've reduced our funding for housing. They've reduced our funding for job training. They've reduced our funding for healthcare. They've reduced our funding for schools. It is time for the city to actually prioritize reinvesting in our communities. All of these things actually contribute to helping create safe communities where people can thrive and live in dignity. And so we need to prioritize providing the funding to our communities so that we have access to the programs and services and opportunities that help us all fulfill what is supposed to be the American dream. We know that for so long, our communities have been denied access to. So that's one of my critical priorities is really taking a hard look at the city budget and focusing first on meeting our community's needs, because we also know that so many of the members of our communities have been the ones that have been responsible for taking care of other people throughout the course of the pandemic, whether that be as home health aides or as nurses or as childcare workers or as bus operators or as delivery workers. It's our people. So it's time for us to be prioritized and taken care of.
So you mentioned one issue that you're going to be taking care of. Any other issues that are priorities for you?
Sure. I think housing is a critical priority. I think that we need to make sure that we prioritize creating affordable, permanent housing for everybody so that we can address not just the increasing homelessness crisis, but the increasing housing insecurity crisis that is plaguing our communities. And the last thing I'll add to that is that we need to take on and address the police violence and brutality that is disproportionately impacting our communities. I am so dismayed by the ongoing killing of our young people, of all of our people, and the way that the militarized policing system disproportionately harms our communities. So I'm also committed to defunding and significantly reducing the budget for the policing system so that we can invest in our communities in ways that really actually keep us safe.
Could you just expand on when you say defunding? Because when one hears defunding, automatically they may think, okay, you know, taking away all the money, but that's not what you suggested.
You're right. That's not what I'm suggesting. And I know that there's a lot of concern that people are concerned and want to be safe. So let me just explain what I mean. Right now, the NYPD budget has the largest, most militarized budget of the world. Our budget for the NYPD is larger than the budget of many countries. And we also send our NYPD to other countries to train their military. That is not the same force that actually should be responsible for patrolling our streets and keeping our children safe. So what I'm talking about is reducing the significantly bloated budget. You know, I don't know, you might have seen the video the other day of the robo dog that was walking into NYCHA.
I did.
That police dog cost over $70,000 to come into Black and brown communities and terrorize our people all the more. So what I'm talking about is reducing the money that they have right now for their toys. And reinvesting those dollars, we should actually be creating what I call a community first responders department. We also know about police is that the majority of the calls that they respond to are not crimes. It's issues about homelessness or mental health. A community first responders department would be staffed by people who are trained and skilled at intervention and de-escalation in those situations, and then could actually connect people to the services that they need. So we're breaking the cycle. Rather than arresting someone and releasing them the next day to the same situation, or even in the worst case scenario, shooting them dead. So we need to spend the money in a different kind of way that actually prioritizes the safety of our communities. I'm not talking about making the police department go away. I'm just talking about investing in things that our communities really need.
Let's talk now about the pandemic and how the Black and brown communities have been disproportionately affected because of the health issues that were there before. We have the highest rates of diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and those are issues that the virus predicates on, you know, it feeds on. Yeah. How are you going to address those issues as the next mayor of New York City?
So the first thing I'll say about that is that the reasons that our communities suffer disproportionately from these so-called pre-existing conditions is because our communities also suffer from racism in a way that has eliminated or precluded our access to economic stability, to housing, and all those things combined, actually, you know, healthcare also. And also we find that many people who live in our communities don't have access within 5 minutes to fresh fruits or vegetables. And that is not an accident. That is by design how our communities are structured and created. So I just want to start by making that point that all of those pre-existing conditions that they kind of want to, it's almost like they want to blame us on them. Oh, you have those things, so that's why you're more susceptible. But the reality of it is that those pre-existing conditions were actually created as a result of policies, I think, and made worse. So, you know, my priority is to actually make sure that our communities are being taken care of. That means making sure that we have integrated community health clinics that are accessible. That means that we have access to information about what is happening, whether it's with the COVID-19 virus or other things, in our languages. In our languages, being provided to us by people from our communities who look like us, who understand our lived experiences, and who come from our neighborhoods, so that there are people that we already trust and have relationships with. There's a reason why our communities don't trust the government. Mm-hmm. It's understandable. And so we need to make sure that they're getting the information, they're getting the care, and that it's being delivered in, you know, culturally and linguistically appropriate ways. And that's one of the things that I've committed to in our New York City 5000. That's one of the things I want to accomplish in the first 100 days of my administration, is to hire 5000 people across the city that are reflective of the communities and actually can do an assessment of how much damage COVID-19 has done, what the needs are, and begin to actually create a plan to make sure that our communities are being prioritized.
So, Ms. Morales, we have a crowded field of candidates running to be the next mayor of New York City. You've just stated some of the issues and concerns that you're looking to address. What qualities sets you apart from those candidates? And we know that most of those candidates are term limited. And it's like we have this recycling of politicians moving from one job to, you know, one position to another. Yeah. So what sets you apart that one should vote for you as the next mayor of New York City?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that set me apart. So let me see if I can be concise. The first thing is that my experiences are reflective of the people that I want to serve. I was born and raised in Brooklyn. I'm a single mother. My children have been racially profiled. My children both went to the public schools and had IEPs. So I have those lived experiences. I've also spent my life, as I mentioned, serving our communities and helping people access opportunity. But I think the third thing I'll say that, and this is kind of the glue that maybe ties everything together, is my loyalty and my accountability is to the community first. I don't have a long career in politics. I don't have a career in politics at all. And my campaign has been built on the idea of elevating the working class, immigrant population, Black and brown of New York City. And so when I move forward, as I move forward, I am moving with all of you, because it is all of you that have made it possible for me to get this far. So my accountability is to the community, and the community will come with me to City Hall. And there's no one else in this race that can say that.
Now, talking about moving forward and you being the candidate of choice, New York City has a new voting system this year, the ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. Can you explain to our audience what is the best way to get you, Diane Morales, elected as the next mayor of New York City?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. The best way to do that, so ranked choice voting will allow every voter to rank their top five choices for any city position. And so what that means is, in order to get me to City Hall, you've got to rank me number one. And the cool thing about that is that ranked choice voting has made it possible to increase the representation of leadership of color in other cities across the country where it's been used. Because when people have choices, they don't feel like they have to vote for the one that they know is going to win or the one that has the most money. They get to actually vote with their values first. They get to vote for the person who they feel is most representative of what they really want to see in leadership. And they don't have to feel like they're throwing away their vote because they get five people that they get to rank. So if I am the person that you feel you wish was in leadership, that you feel is most aligned with what you believe in, then you put me at the top of your ballot and you put the safety person down at the bottom.
So we don't put you three times. We just put you at
the top. No, you can't. If you do that, the ballot will only one of the votes will count anyway.
Okay.
So you don't want to throw away your votes. Mm-hmm. You want to have different choices on each category, you know, one through five. You don't have to use all five, but why wouldn't you if you have those options?
Okay, but the most important thing is to have Diane Morales as the first choice.
The most important thing is to rank Diane Morales number one. I will be the second name people see on the ballot. And when you see my name, that's where you want to put number one.
So how can one, you know, apart from voting for you in the primaries on June the 22nd, how can one support your campaign?
Sure. So there's a couple of different ways. I mean, right now we've qualified for matching funds, but every donation from a New York City voter between $10 and $250 actually gets matched 8-1. So a $10 contribution yields a total of $90 for the race, which is really important because since I am a community grassroots candidate, I don't have the millions of dollars that other candidates in this race have who have been running for years and saving money for years and owe favors to other, you know, special interests or those kinds of things. All of my money has been raised from the community. So donations are welcome. The website for that is Diane, Diane.nyc. We also, as I said, really grassroots. So all of the way that we're getting out into the community is word of mouth. So volunteers are a critical part of our campaign, whether it's making phone calls or sending text messages or, you know, standing on the corner and talking to people or putting up posters in the community. You can also sign up for that at the website, diane.nyc. And you can follow the campaign and learn more about me and what I'm up to at any social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok even. And my handle there is Diane, D-I-A-N-N-E, the number 4, NYC. That's the same across all social media platforms. And we'd love to have you get involved.
Thank you so much, Ms. Morales. It was a pleasure having you here. We look forward to having you back again. We wish you the very, very best for your campaign running for New York City mayor. And we hope you make history as the first woman and the first Afro-woman, and Latina woman, mayor of New York City. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope we make history as having elected the first community leader to mayor of New York City as well. Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure.
People Power in Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power in Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.